It was the evening before everything changed. The Ukrainian novelist Andrei Kukov had invited me for dinner. A few friends, he said, and Borsch. We had first met earlier that memorable winter, a pleasant meal in a Georgian restaurant in Podil, a neighborhood in the lower part of Kyiv, next to the Dnipro River. A glass of red in a boutique cafe near the old city. The date was now February 23rd, 2022. It was 8:15 p.m., and I was late. I stopped in a shop, bought a bottle of Kalinist port from a winery in Odessa, and hurried to Kukov's flat. These meetings happened under the shadow of war. The news, which I was writing for my newspaper, The Guardian, was alarming, terrible even. A week earlier, Russian-backed separatists had shelled a village in Ukrainian-controlled territory next to the pro-Russian regions of Luhansk and Donetsk. The missile had landed in a school gym. Mercifully, no one was killed, but the 8-year conflict in the east was heating up. Humor was essential in these dark times. Kukov sent me a meme via WhatsApp. It showed Fyodor Dostoevsky's head floating surreally in a hole in the school's wall, peering at the rubble. Around the great 19th century Russian writer were soccer balls, a mural depicting a jungle, and a climbing rope. Kukov was an agreeable companion, the author of many playful and magically luminous books, and Ukraine's most celebrated living writer. Also, remarkably, he was an optimist. I, by contrast, was increasingly gloomy. The omens pointed in one scarcely believable direction. Russia was about to invade Ukraine. Vladimir Putin had a long-standing interest in Ukraine. In 2014, he responded to a pro-European uprising in Kyiv by annexing Ukraine's Crimean Peninsula and coordinating a counter-rebellion in the Donbass, a region subsequently controlled in part by Russia-installed rebels. By the end of the decade, it had grown into a brooding obsession. The crisis had been growing since autumn 2020, like a fog rolling in. First, Putin had sent troops, tanks, and armored vehicles to Russia's western border with Ukraine and to Belarus, a brother state that Moscow had practically absorbed. The vehicles bore a curious white symbol, the letter V. Next, Putin had issued a series of demands so imperious and swaggering you could only marvel at their audacity. He sought nothing less than the annulment of the security infrastructure that has governed Europe for the 3 decades since the Soviet Union's 1991 collapse. Further, he wanted the Biden administration to guarantee Ukraine would never join NATO, the United States-led military alliance set up in 1949 to contain the Soviet Union. Additionally, Russia's president demanded that NATO take its forces and equipment out of European countries that had once been Cold War satellites: Romania, Bulgaria, Poland, the Baltic states. These countries had joined NATO after 1997. Now Moscow wanted to wind the clock back. Putin's apparent goal was to recreate the USSR's sphere of influence that had existed across the European continent behind what Winston Churchill called an Iron Curtain. This zone encompassed Belarus and Ukraine, historic Russian lands, as Putin saw them, unjustly separated from Moscow by Bolshevik blunder and Western meddling.